the worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best served funny. Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I am your host, Christine Lakin. And sitting with me, as always, is the lovely, the slightly hairy today, but I'm liking it.
I'm going full beard.
Full beard.
My team didn't lose a football game, so yep. I decided to keep my beard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm feeling very beardy today, but you know what?
Hello, Stephen Ray Morris.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's 2018, year of the beard, I think.
I think beards have gone and mustaches have gone from being ironic to just being, they're just back in vogue, you know?
It's like the 1800s.
It's the 1800s.
Or the 1970s.
Yes. I think the 70s. I was going for 70s. But sure, Peaky Blinders, I can go back there. That's fine. I'm into it. Stephen, I just want to check in with you. You said that you're pretty tired. Does that have anything to do with all of the Jurassic Park burlesque shows and parody shows you've been seeing? Because you've seen... It's been a matter of like a week.
Yeah, it's been a big week for me as a Jurassic Park fan. Yeah, there was the Umpo series, which they're big. Are they based all around the U.S. or just L.A.?
I actually don't know the answer to that.
But they've done I feel like they've done Scream and they've done a few others. Yeah. But they're doing a Jurassic Park one at the Rockwell until April. And that was hilarious. And then I went to the Rockwell, a few days later to go to a Jurassic Park burlesque show.
That's
Jurassic Peak.
Hilarious.
And both were amazing.
And not produced by the same people, but no. Clearly Jurassic Park is on the minds of the people.
Yeah, I think the Rockwell has become like a centerpiece for that because Jeff Goldblum his jazz show there like anytime he's not filming. So it's like become... like a
mecca.
Yeah, in Los Feliz, you go to the Rockwell, which is a great venue,
mm-hmm.
great drinks, good happy hour. And yeah, they just put on a good show. And what I like about all the shows there is,
I've performed there.
Yeah, like I didn't realize that with a lot of the performances that people go out into the audience.
Oh yeah.
And it's like a full theater experience.
Yes. It's not dinner theater, but it's kind of dinner, a cabaret maybe.
Yeah.
It's like a cabaret space, I guess. But with some of their more like produced shows, yeah, there's always like part of the stage that sort of juts out into the middle, which is really fun, I think, as a spectator and in a little challenging as a performer.
Really?
Because you're like, when I did Scream, we had one moment where, so I played a couple characters. I played the Rose McGowan character.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And then in the beginning, I was also the Drew Barrymore character and I totally died. Anyway, so they had a big like baby pool and I had to step in it, you know, and I was on the phone and I had the wig on and I'm screaming and they had someone comes and like starts to like stab me, right? The Scream guy starts to stab me and some of the other cast members are like literally squirting bottles of fake blood in my face, but people are also like eating their steak tartare and their like chicken Florentine like literally right there.
Oh my God.
So you're covered in blood and then you're like, and like the lights go down and it's slippery and you can't see anything. You're like, excuse me.
Oh my God. And you're like, sorry.
I don't want to get the Kara syrup like on your, that's a lovely blouse. I'm sure it's from Anthropology. Looks very expensive.
You're just like,
can you lean forward, sir?
Yeah. You're like, this is all safe. So if you got fake blood in your drink, it's totally fine. It's just part of the experience.
Totally fine. It might actually sweeten it up a little bit.
Oh my God.
Well, you've had a busy week, my friend.
Yeah, it's very busy.
Very busy. Very, very lively.
Maybe that's why I'm tired today.
I think it is. Well, I'm excited for this week. We have one of my favorite people, a wonderful actress who you guys would know. She is in the zeitgeist, I'm sure, of your childhood mind. We have a lot of nostalgic people on the show. You'd remember her from the Mickey Mouse Club back in the day, and then you would remember her from MTV's Awkward, and also probably every other Lifetime or Hallmark movie that you've ever seen ever, Nikki DeLoach. Thank Hi. You so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I was enjoying that so much.
It's, I mean, really, it's just unreal.
No, just the two of you.
Oh, together. Yes, thank you.
It's very nice.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you should do like a live one of these from the Rockwell.
We should.
Oh, yeah.
That would be really fun.
We're trying to get our live show together, and I think it's going to be this spring. But it keeps getting pushed because we can't do it without Steven, and he's very busy.
Well, obviously, he saw two Jurassic Park shows this week.
I've got a lot of Jurassic Park things to check out.
And he does, like, just like you do every other Hallmark movie, he does every other podcast. He's producing just Into the Night.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
It's a full-time
thing. Do you do one like every day?
Do I record one every day?
Yeah.
I definitely did. There was a while where I was probably recording two or three a day.
Wow.
Not just like just around town freelancing and doing all that stuff like that. Yeah.
You were the guy.
Yeah.
He's the dude.
That's amazing.
He's the dude.
I know. I was like, we need more podcast producers out there, but also don't take away the work from me either. So.
I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
I do. Wow. That's very cool. Okay. Well, when you get... come on. You're busy too. You're like
we're
in a show,
just
producing the show.
Yes.
Like,
it's
you have
get a
this.
Hairy
you
in the
have
next few months.
Well, I was gonna say, is Hollywood Darlings
and that, by the way, Stephen.
P.S.
P.S. We need to talk schedule before you leave.
but wait, is Hollywood Darlings in editing right now?
Yeah, they're in editing. I think two of the episodes, we had a call this morning, two of the episodes have gone on to the network for notes, but everyone's very excited and happy. We had a sort of a strategy call for publicity, what we're going to be doing. We're going to start publicizing the show beginning of April. Comes out April 18th, everyone.
Check it out.
Yeah, and
you're
I'm
good on it.
Oh,
you're so good anyway. You're such a good comedic actor.
This, like, is the only reason I had you on my podcast, just so you can praise me.
Okay,
you.
So I'll go now. Thanks, guys. No, really, you're such a strong comedic actress.
Oh,
it's incredible because I don't know. Like, I think there are a lot of like really great female comedic actors out there. Like people don't praise them enough.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's like,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I've loved watching you.
Oh, I so appreciate
See,
that.
See, when Allah's not here, look at the positive vibes that we
have
on the show.
I just feel like I'm getting built up. This is the best.
Yeah.
This is like the best podcast ever. We're going to have to change the title.
We're going to change it.
He comes back next week.
That was my whole job today, was to come in and be like, change the whole thing. Instead of the worst podcast ever, it's going to be called the best podcast ever.
Thank you. No, we're excited about the second season. I'm actually going next week to sit and check out some episodes, and I can't wait.
That's going to be so exciting.
Yeah, we've seen little bits and pieces, just like little clips and stuff here and there, but and it looks so good.
Yeah.
It's just a real step up from last year, production value-wise. And so, you know, as actresses in our 30s, the three of us are happy that we look pretty on camera.
Dude.
Because that's a thing, right?
It is a thing. I mean, it is, because like sometimes, too, you'll see yourself on camera and you're like, I don't look that old, do I?
God, it's
and
weird.
Like, I mean, I've had those moments where I'm like, oh Lord, help. Like, I needed a light, I needed some concealer,
I need Vaseline, smeared on the lens.
Just something.
What's
like
going
some
on
help.
Under my chin? Is that a turkey neck? What's happening?
Yeah, I don't know.
God, you can get real vain real fast.
I mean, yeah, but I am. I don't know. Like, that's an honest thing. Like, does it consume my life? Absolutely not. But like, I don't think anyone wants to look like on camera and see like their gray hair and, you know, fatness.
Fatness.
I mean, I don't. Yeah.
No, it's, you know, if we weren't in this business, it wouldn't be as, I think, big of a concern on our minds. So there's a part of it that you're kind of like, ugh, part of my job to look a certain way. And I do, at times, I do really resent it. I have to say that. Sometimes I just resent the fact that being a woman means you have to go the extra distance just to look normal in the world.
I agree.
I mean, no offense, Steven is a very nice looking young man.
But look at him.
But he could just
He has a beard.
He rolled out of bed. He probably did a little bit of something to the hair, brushed his teeth, and got here. Am I wrong,
Steven? I do moisturize, though.
Okay.
I just want to, on record, I moisturize.
Put moisturizer on, and that's it.
That's amazing. You have no idea how many products are on my face right now.
No,
there's so many products on the face.
No, it's weird. I very much resent it too. And then I had a conversation with another woman who was like, yeah, but don't we just do it to ourselves? And I'm like, I mean, in a way, but which one of us is going to pull the trigger first and just say, screw it, man. I'm like giving up on life. Like,
I'm just going to start moisturizing and that's it.
I mean, which one of us is going to be the brave one that's going to pull the trigger first? Like, not I.
It's, and I, you know, I'm very
good for Alicia Keys. Actually, Alicia Keys is like, you know, the no makeup thing that she did. I was like, brave soul. But also she, I'm like, but yeah, look at your skin without makeup. She looks flawless. I'm like, of course you can go without makeup.
Well, you know, I think not to stereotype, but I also think that there's a certain whole ethnic group that can do no wrong. Oh, they just have beautiful skin no matter what they
do. It's amazing.
But they slap some coconut oil on and like call it a day.
That is not my skin.
No. No, it's not my skin either. I'm not going to ask you how old you are, although I will
tell you.
I'm 39.
I'm 38.
Oh, yeah, girl, yeah. You're in the box.
I know.
I just
when's your birthday?
January 25th.
Oh, you just had a birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I mean, literally just had a birthday.
I did.
What did you do?
My husband and I went out for sushi with our baby.
Nice.
Super fun.
Yeah.
And then we had a really low-key brunch. And we got a sitter and had a low-key brunch. It was great.
That's kind of the dream once you have kids, is like to just have one dinner without them.
Yes.
A month.
One meal without them a month is, and we try really, like tonight we have tickets to the theater, which is my other favorite thing.
Aladdin?
No, we're going, I see your face right now because you're the third person that's been like, oh, is it Aladdin? Because I heard it's, I heard leave something to be desired.
Yeah, I did too.
It doesn't follow the movie.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And that's a real
shame. Because I wanted
shame.
To take my son and they were like, well, maybe just.
How do you do the musical of Aladdin with no carpet?
I don't know.
That just feels like, I'm sorry.
A lie.
A lie.
Big fat lie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have a VHS of Aladdin. I'm not even kidding. I'm probably the last person on earth that has a VHS player. It's a VHS combo DVD, so, okay.
So, to be fair. Yeah, but still, I respect that.
Thank you.
And that
Aladdin
might,
is
that
the
might
only
have moved up on, like, the top three reasons why I really like you. That's maybe number three now. It was, like, number seven, but, like, now that's number three. I love that.
I'm just, like, really holding on to old school things. And the only VHS we have is Aladdin, and it looks like shit. But I sometimes play it for my daughter because I'm nostalgic for it. What
were
you gonna
say,
Steven? It's a
classic.
Well,
I was going to say, those Disney VHSs are worth a lot now.
I know. Like, I have
a
lot of
them.
They
put them in the vault and those like those plastic white.
Yeah, the plastic white
clamshells
that I have.
I feel like my mom's probably pissed that she threw them all away because we had
all of them.
Little Mermaid, Lion King.
Well, like, how much are we talking here?
I think some of them are in the hundreds.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I can do a little research right now.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, if times get rough, I need to know what the hot ticket items are I can sell.
Because I really don't have anything else.
No.
I mean, that's really all I have. And maybe some snow globes.
Right. Yeah.
No Beanie Babies?
Oh, wait. No. Do I? I actually think I only had like two or three. I wasn't a huge collector of the Beanie Babies. I had two or three, but my mom did something recently where she just put all of the stuffed animals in a big plastic bag. And she was like, do you want to go through these? And I was like, not really. And so I think she just donated them to the church.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's fine. I mean, the two that were really important survived. So that's all I cared about.
There's a Little Mermaid, extremely rare, for $595.
Okay.
What?
Wow. Wow, but what makes it extremely rare?
I think because it was like I don't know. Yeah, it just says, and then there's Sleeping Beauty. It looks beat up as all hell. That's going for $4. So
yeah,
maybe there's some mixed messaging going on. I don't know. Well, this Hunchback of Notre Dame is for $400.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, but then this Peter Pan is only $10. I don't know.
It's a very strange situation.
Really, there's a wide gamut here. It's across the board.
But if it was signed by you. Who knows?
Maybe I can get it signed by Scott Winger.
Well, there you go.
Winger? Scott Winger. You know what I'm talking about. Aladdin. Am I saying his name wrong? Winger. Winger.
Oh, I don't know Aladdin's name.
I just got to give it to Jody Sweeten, get her to get Scott to sign it.
There you go.
And you guys, I might be able to buy a new pair of shoes.
Probably between you, Beverly, and Jody. There has to be, like, you have to be able to reach anyone you can't. Like, you know what I mean? To some level.
We should play the 6 degrees of separation.
You really, between the three of you, I feel like you could probably get to anyone. Like, there might be 2 degrees removed, but, like.
Yeah, we should play that actually when I have them on. That would be hilarious.
That would be really fun. You should do that. You should just do like a whole list of celebrity names and then see how far removed or...
Well, my friend knows so-and-so who lives next door to that
person. Would be a really fun episode.
That would be really fun. That's a great idea.
Listen, I'm here all day. Okay. Whatever whatever episodes you need to come up. We have a live one that's going to happen at the Rockwell and we have that one.
Great.
Okay.
Okay. I want to talk about aging for a second and then I want to go all the way back to your start in the biz. But because we were kind of on the topic.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer this question. But do you try to do anything like to anti-age? Do you do any preventative measures?
I do facials.
And do you do the light therapy with the weird masks or anything?
No,
like that?
I haven't done that yet. But a friend of mine yesterday was just telling me that she did a facial recently that did the microderm. Ooh. And then it did a peel afterward, and then they put that light thing on like afterwards and like sat under the light for a while, and she loved it, and I was like, I'm all down for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was only like $100-$150 for the whole thing, which was actually like a really good price. So I'm going to do that. I'll let you know how it goes.
I want to know.
But I have a facialist, and the most that she does on me is the laser, which really hurts.
Oh, I've heard that hurts.
It hurts. Like, it really does. And I only get like a couple of treatments a year thus far because it traumatizes me and it takes me so long to like, I'm such a baby. Like, I've pushed two babies out of my vagina, but like, I can't get laser. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Your skin looks amazing. I'm literally sitting like 3 feet, not even away from Nikki.
Thank you.
Your skin is flawless.
Thank you. I love her. And my skin used to be horrible, like really, really, really bad acne for the majority of my life. It was so bad. And even when I had my first child, it came back. Like, it had, I took medications. Like, when I was younger, I had to take Accutane. It was bad. And when I started going to Lisa, my facialist, hi Lisa, I'll make her, she won't listen to it, but I'll make her listen to it because I'll tell her that I gave her a shout out.
And it should give you a little discount.
She changed my skin, and the products I use are all like, it's Eminence, which is all organic, all natural products. And which, I mean, I'm not a person that's like super, you know, I eat Cheetos and like Chick-fil-A and McDonald's. So I'm not like an all organic kind of person, but it did make a huge difference with my skin.
Wow.
Yeah. Huge.
That's amazing.
So Eminence and facials and the strongest thing, but I'm not against anything.
Yeah.
But I did have an incident where I was like, I was sitting around with a group of girls and everyone did Botox. And I was like, dude, I should be dipping into this pond. Like, what is going, like, I need to be doing it too. And I went and I got a recommendation from two of the girls, and I was waiting in the room for with the lady, and she had her like assistant came in and said, hi, they brought in like some birthday flowers if you just want to pop out and say hi. And when she left, I went into like full panic mode and ran out. And like, they called me like 5 seconds later and was like, where did you go? And I was like, I freaked out. I got really scared. And I'm like, what's going to happen?
So you didn't even tell them? You're like, sorry, I didn't even tell them.
I like exited out the back door. Like, just ran out because I was so frightened.
You frightened of the needles, or were you frightened of like what might, were you like, the reaction?
Like, what if I had, no, I like, I don't think that, like, I'm just, I'm scared of like the negative point, whatever 1% of people that have like a bad reaction.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so scared because I'm always that person,
right?
Where people are like, nothing's ever happened. And then I'm like, it happened. And so that's what I get panicked about. And I'm
totally
sure
it
will be fine because I will do it one day. But I just have to get up the nerve.
Look, I've been very honest. I've done Botox a handful of times.
How does it feel?
Well, I personally love it.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing.
All my friends do too. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like into it, but I just got really freaked out.
I totally understand the freak out though, because I'm also afraid of needles. Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you get a procedure which involves multiple stabbings in your face?
Xanax.
With a needle. Probably. That's probably what I should be doing.
You didn't?
No. In the last three times I've had it, I've almost fainted. No, literally.
Holy shit.
I just like choked on my saliva.
I think this story on the podcast before, but I have literally gotten, they start talking to me, I get sweaty palms.
Yeah, that's what started happening to me.
I get like really, like a shortness of breath, yeah. I stop breathing, and then they start going for it, and I think it's because I can't see the needle, and I don't know what's happening, and I just the fact that it's going into my face, near my eyeballs, I start thinking of all these weird, you know, Clockwork Orange type things, and then I get really panicky, and I am like, I start to see stars, and they have to lay me down, and then they have to go get me chocolate and orange juice, and it's so embarrassing. I mean, I'm a person that, you know, I would try it all. Give me like a filler here, give me a lip, like let's do something under here, under the chin, but I can't. I can barely do Botox. I have to work myself up into that. So my vainness, how vain I am, still underrides like how neurotic I am about needles. So I don't know if that's a good thing. It's probably keeping me normal looking, because I think you can really go. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I think so too. I think for a lot of people, and I mean, like I see girls my age that have been doing it a very, very long time, and they just went like tipped over into the dark side a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now you're starting to like not look like a person.
I'm nervous for Khloe Kardashian. I just put that out there? I'm scared for her.
Because that's the other thing. Like
something just happened to her face. Or maybe they're using a lot of face like Photoshop thing. I don't know what's going on.
That could be it too.
The
I don't
lips
know.
Look like
but
they
like,
hurt. Oh,
like if you could pop them and they would.
Yeah, it's just it's too much. And then you have to wonder, like when you start that stuff later in life, you've seen the women in Beverly Hills or whatever getting out at a gas station or having lunch, and like they've been doing plastic surgery for so long, they look weird. Yeah. It doesn't look normal.
I think it does like tip over into the dark side if you're not careful.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it goes back to that thing of like everything in moderation.
Totally.
You know, no matter what it is, like dip your toe in the pond of anything. You know what I mean? But like, you know.
You can't get like so obsessed with it.
No. But I will say that the thing that like just a vulnerable level about the aging that I think gets to me a little more is like, you know, I just had a kid and taking off. I mean, like, listen, I'm not saying like I look fine.
You look great.
Thanks. But the like the tummy stuff like that, the second time around has been so much harder.
And I hear that.
And it's like that's hard for me. Like I'm a little vulnerable in that area because I'm like, I am older. I'm 38 years old. And it's a little bit more difficult to take it off. And it's like not going away. It's just like the skin is just kind of like hanging there. And like my husband was like wanting to have sex the other night. And I was like, well, just let me just turn away from you. Like not that he cares, but I was just like, do you have to like see what's happening in my tummy region to have sex with me? And he didn't need to see it. He was fine. He was like, yeah, you can turn around. We can do that. But I mean, that makes me really vulnerable, like with the aging thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am right there with you. Something happened where like before I got pregnant, man, I felt like I was on fire. Like I felt like great about myself. I felt super like I was in this, you know, new relationship, new marriage. We were like newlyweds. It was like hot to trot all the time, you know. Got pregnant. As I got bigger and bigger, I felt just more like maternal and and also exhausted and also just like a blimp.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then after I had the baby, certainly nothing was going near anything down there. Like, no.
No.
I was in a lot of pain for a while.
Me too.
And then there was this whole other part that happened that I feel like maybe women don't talk about, or at least I haven't heard as much, but there was something that like happened psychologically to me where I was now taking care of this tiny baby, and it was like I just kind of separated the sexual side of me altogether. I'm sure there's something to do with breastfeeding and the fact that your body is being utilized to protect and nourish a child.
And also, I don't want to have another one of these, like, this that yes. soon after.
I'm traumatized a little bit so by how like, little sleep I'm getting.
On a conscious or maybe unconscious level, you're like, stay away from me until I can, like, fully recuperate from yeah. what just happened.
Yes.
So that it doesn't happen again.
It just, and you start to feel like, mom, I don't know.
Yeah.
You just feel like a different version mm-hmm. of yourself. And it's hard to sort of get back to that.
It's very hard.
Feeling, you yeah. know, I don't know. Feeling
well, it's
really
very
like,
true. Because like your boobs are, you know, are in a kid's mouth. Half. The, I mean, like I was doing that right before I came here. And it does take a while to get back into the like sexy part of you because you don't own your body anymore yeah. for a while, like until they're finished doing that. And then you're like, okay, now I have my body back a little bit. Now let's see if I can get it back in shape. And it really hit me hard with this second one because of what we went through.
Would you tell yeah. our listeners about
so
that?
So when my kid was like 5 days old, we had Bennett is now 4 months. I'll preface all of this with saying like there's a great ending, but he's 4 months, and when he was 5 days old he had open heart surgery. He had four major things wrong with his heart. Like he had to have like a huge major overhaul, and so it was really traumatic and it was very scary, and we were in the hospital for a while afterwards. And even when we got home it was like continued to be scary. Something one day something would go wrong with the oxygen machine, the next day it was like his incision got infected. It was just it was a lot. And then I mean, you know, any parent out there, like when you're faced with like, you know, life or death when it comes to your kid, like that's the worst nightmare, you know. Yeah. So it was very traumatizing. So for me, getting back in the saddle sexually this time around has been even harder.
I'm sure.
Because my first pregnancy, I had extraordinary postpartum. And then this one, we went through open heart surgery. So I have had, my journey to motherhood has been very, very, very difficult.
Yes.
And so my husband's like, you want to have sex? I'm like, no!
That's what got me into the
Never
dark
again.
Places.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it.
It's a very guttural reaction. And it's like, I want to connect with you on that level. But like, I emotionally just cannot.
Yeah. You know? I also just want to watch Netflix, no chilling.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I get that. That's, you know, it's interesting because you, when you get married or you find the person that you want to have kids with,
yeah.
it's all just a dream in your head of what it's going to be like. And then you do it and there's no take backs. Like, nope. You know, you're in it now. And yeah. it may or may not be living up to whatever you thought that dream was all yeah. the time. Because yeah. that's not even rational or reasonable. But it's just so much infinitely harder than you yeah. actually think it's going to be. But it's also so much infinitely better.
It is.
In so many ways.
It really is. Like, having kids is the most important thing I will ever do in my life. Like, I know that 100%. But also, like, it gets real, real fast.
Yeah. Like, George is almost two, and we're at that stage now where I'm starting to see what people call, like, the terrible twos. She's very sweet, but she's getting very picky.
Yeah.
About what she wants, and she wants it now, and she has no patience for yep. anything, and it's yep. a lot of demanding, and it's just
very tough.
It hurts my feelings. Like, my 2-year-old shouldn't hurt my feelings. But when I say things like, when I make things for her, or I say, do you want this? No, no, no,
and
no.
And you're a really
no.
good cook.
Thank you. You should tell her that. But I really try, you know, and it's, yeah, man, they can really, I feel like she hurt my husband's feelings really bad this morning. This is the problem.
Oh, no.
When I'm not home and it's just the two of them,
yeah.
things are great. When I am home and it's just the two of us, things are great. When we're both home, she only wants me still. So I don't ever get a break unless I'm not in the house or
That's
I'm working.
Tough.
And it's hard.
That's really tough.
Because Brandon wants to help. He wants to say, come on, let's come in here and play. And she goes, no, 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 mommy. As if, like, you know, something horrible has happened, and like runs into the other room. I'm right here, you know? So we're in that stage. And
yeah, that's really tough.
It's hard.
It's hard because
it makes him feel bad.
Yeah. I know.
He's trying his best.
If it makes you feel any better, I think that that's the case for most people. Like, for a while, yeah. I think, you know.
I'm going to make him listen to this because maybe that'll make him feel better.
They want mommies for a very long time. Yeah. You know, my son and my husband just went. They went to the Super Bowl.
But oh, yeah. Okay.
I know our husbands are.
So our husbands are both from
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Okay, yeah.
Well, Brandon, Wisconsin, but he favors Minnesota for sports. Yeah. Because he was raised right on the border.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, yes, our team did not get in. But
oh, it's the worst game.
So Brandon's home shaving his beard, crying in his nachos. Your husband had tickets to the Super Bowl and went.
He went, yeah.
And he took your son.
Well, and they had this amazing, like, guys weekend. It was really, really sweet. And it did shift things. Like, yeah. You know, seeing now and this morning, my son, like, ran up and, like, threw his arms around Ryan. And they were so lovey-dovey. And I was like, oh, that it shifted something with the two of them. And I was like, that's nice. Like,
that's great.
Yeah. So I don't have to be the only person because that was the same situation for me too.
Well, I decided, my girlfriend wrote me a couple weeks ago. We used to do girls trips all the time before we had babies. And they were the best. And it's been a long time.
I really miss girls trips.
I know. I do too.
Yeah.
And so she writes me. Her kids are a little older now. And she writes me. She's like, might be a long shot, but what do you think? Beginning of March.
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, what is it? What is it? What is she going to say? She's like, beginning of March, Buttermilk, Aspen, get yourself there. The place is on me. And
what?
I was like, I couldn't type yes fast enough.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I guess I have to run it by my husband. But yeah, hold on. Yes. Yeah. But yes. Yes, I'm there.
You're doing a girl
so
trip.
I'm going. I cashed in the miles, man. I am
That's
there.
So exciting.
So 3 nights. And I hope that, I know it's going to be a little difficult for him, like it always is. I told him he should find 3 nights somewhere down the line in the summer,
him.
And he should go and do a camping trip with his guys or whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
And so I'm really needing it. I'm really looking forward to it. And I hope that it's
an opportunity. Is this the first one since?
This is, yeah, I've done like an overnight in Santa Barbara. I did that with a friend.
Not the same.
Not the same. Not like a... Like
a trip.
Yeah, trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Oh, I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
I'm excited for me too. I know. So then I said, you know, go and find something that you want to do. We have some Southwest miles. You could go visit a friend, whatever you want to do. I come home the other day and Brandon is literally looking up all-inclusive...
Oh, God.
Sorry. All-inclusive 3-day trips to Mexico. I went, okay. Who are you going to Mexico with? He's like, I don't know. Is it weird if I go alone? I go, yes. You're going to look like a serial killer. Like, you're just down there to find people and kill them. You cannot go to Mexico alone. That's so bizarre. And also, what? Like, what?
He's like, it's so weird.
He's like sandals. He's just by
it's
himself.
So weird.
I was like, maybe if he goes surfing or something. But
yeah, no, he doesn't surf.
You're like, she's like, he doesn't actually do anything. So it would just be him laying by the pool.
Being a creeper.
Having cocktails.
He's like, just like, he's so obsessed with the idea of going somewhere tropical, which I totally vibe. I get
it.
Go to Costa Rica. That's, you go hiking and
but
volcanoes.
That's also so different than just going to where was it?
I'm going to Aspen.
Yeah, it's just very different than going
and my girl,
to just
like they
Aspen
own the place
for
there,
like
so it's sort of
a
like
a couple
okay.
of nights. It's like I'm going out of the country for
so random. Five He's like, days. What about Tijuana? I'm like, no.
You're like,
I'm like, you're gonna no. Everything, it's a Dateline episode. Everything's a Dateline episode in my mind.
Right.
I'm like, you're going to go down there.
I mean,
like, we have a small child. I don't need you getting into trouble. I don't know what's going to happen. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, I can handle myself.
But also, I like, said, how did that turn into, how did, hey, why don't you take a couple of days with, like, for yourself in the future, turn into, I'm going to get online right now.
Start
and
looking up
first
3-day Delta vacations to Cabo San Lucas.
It's like hostile stabbing in Cabo.
Exactly.
He's like, that's where I'm going.
I was kind of thinking like maybe you go to Joshua Tree with a dude friend or
in
maybe
a camper.
Or maybe you know, go up, you find a campsite and you guys like rough it out or go to Vegas. You have a friend that lives there.
Oh,
go to Vegas
my
for a couple nights.
Go with him.
Yeah, they. We need to get them together.
My husband is obsessed with Vegas.
Oh,
and
Brandon
all I want to do is just like eat, drink alcohol and live at the
lay
spa
by a pool. Yeah,
yeah. I don't like to gamble. I don't like want to do any of that stuff.
Me either.
I literally just want to drink, lay by the pool.
Me too.
And go to spa.
Oh, we should go to Vegas sometime.
I'm really good in Vegas. That's all I do.
It's great. All right. We're going to have to plan that. 2020. We'll just give ourselves some time. We'll plan it. We'll go. We'll do it.
Yes.
Save up your miles now. yeah, we got to get, I need to get him some more guy friends. There needs to be like a dude app for other dude friends to find, like, if you're a dad, yeah, a dad dude.
Yeah.
That's a great name. I coined it right now. Get online. See if anyone owns it.
I was going to say, it should be Duder minus Duder. The E. So it's like Tinder, Grindr.
Yes. Duder.
That's awesome. Really good.
All right, we're going to see if we were register it right now.
Okay.
Because there just isn't enough Duder. For you
That's
know.
That's really funny, actually.
Because he stays at home half the time and I stay home half the time. He needs outlets. I've got outlets.
I know. I do too. I love my girlfriends and I can't get out with them enough.
Yeah.
And
you got friends with kids. You guys can get together. Yeah, you can commiserate. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. He's just like, sometimes I feel like rocking himself into a corner, you know, watching her like try to climb into a water table. Like we've got to help him friends. Out.
You really and truly, that's a great name. Duder.
I don't think anybody has it right now.
Oh my gosh. I just came up with a great idea.
You did.
Podcast
Silicon
copyright.
Valley here Christine comes.
All right. I want to rewind all the way back now. I'm doing this totally
yeah.
in reverse.
No.
By the way, are you hungry? Do you want a snack?
No. Oh, yes, actually. I would like a snack. I love snacks.
Okay. Because in the kitchen, there's a whole thing. I want to talk about snacks just for a second. We are sponsored this week by RX Bar.
Those
RX
are delicious.
Bar. You've had them before?
I ate one yesterday.
Seriously?
Yeah, I ate the mint one yesterday.
Ooh, I like the sea salt ones.
It's my favorite. The sea salt's my favorite.
Yeah, the sea salt's my favorite too. I ate one on the way here.
Oh, Steven.
Perfect on the go. You know, you just grabbed it and it's just like, well, I'm driving. It's safe.
Yes. And didn't you say to me that you feel like, even though it might not be necessarily what they're making the bars for, you feel like it would be really good, maybe warmed up with some ice cream,
ooh,
like a
yeah.
Pizookie.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
Pizookies are
right?
so
right? Because they're firm and they're made out of, like, you can literally yeah. see all the ingredients on the package.
That's what I love.
Throw some ice cream on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free. RX bars come in 11 delicious flavor varieties. I really like the sea salt ones, as I already said. There's no added sugar. There's no artificial colors, artificial flavors, preservatives, fillers. The egg white is the protein. I know, it sounds like, huh? But apparently egg white is a very easy protein for your body to absorb. The more you know.
Who knew?
It's great because I have so many friends in Hollywood that are always on random diets.
Yeah.
And every time they come over, you know, you've got to be kind of conscious of that, of what you have in your house.
You covered all the bases.
I feel like it's really easy.
With RX
bars. Just throw them an RX bar.
Yeah.
Hey, man, no one can object to that.
No.
You know?
Pre-audition, throw them an RX bar.
That's right. But yeah, you guys, it's awesome. They are our sponsor this week. I really do like them. All of the ingredients are right on the label. It's one of my favorite new bars. So, and I always stick one or two in my purse. I've got one in my car. You guys can get 25% off your first order.
Do it.
rxbar.com/worst. Do it because it's amazing. And you can go to our Instagram and I'll have all the info up there too. So I'm going to get you one of those. We'll
Thank
take a quick
you.
Break and we'll yep. be right back.
Awesome.
Okay, and we're back. Nikki, I want to go a little bit backwards now and talk about the beginnings of your career. So you started, your first major thing was Mickey Mouse Club.
It was. Yeah.
And what was that experience like getting that? How old were you? Had you been doing stuff before?
Yeah, I was doing stuff before. I mean, like, you know, not national television, but commercials. I was in New York doing theater, modeling. I did stuff like that. I started when I was about 6 or 7, I want to say.
Okay.
But like Mickey Mouse Club was the first like big thing I did. It was incredible. I was 12. And the casting process was insane, but I didn't know any different because, you know, you're a kid.
And you'd been on the hard streets of New York City, pounding the pavement.
Exactly. So it was, yeah, I went to Jacksonville, Florida, and I did my first audition. And then I had a callback in Atlanta. And then after that, they did what was called a casting camp in Orlando.
Right.
Where there was like 24 of us. So... that was pretty wild.
It's so crazy because we've had a few former Mouseketeers on the show.
Which ones?
We had Dee Dee Hall.
Oh, fun.
And we had Dale Godboldo.
Yes.
Did you know him?
I do. I know Dale very well. I love Dale. So Dee Dee, I came in after her on the show, but Dale, I still keep in touch with.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an amazing human.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy.
And who else was in the cast when you joined?
We were the young ones. Like we were the ones that were supposed to be, you know,
right.
The young bucks. It was pretty crazy group of kids. So it was Justin Timberlake, mm-hmm. Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Ryan Gosling. I know, it's pretty crazy.
It's so nuts.
Yeah.
And they were all like about your age-ish at that time.
Yeah. So I was the oldest. Justin and I are around the same age, and Ryan too, and TJ Fantini.
Right.
TJ and I, and Justin's a little bit younger than me, and Ryan too. Brittany was the youngest. Right. I think she was like 10 or 11. When
wow.
I think she was like 10 when we started. I know. Can you imagine? She's like literally a baby. My niece is like almost 10 years old. So I looking at my niece, I'm like, oh, a year from now, you would be on a television show.
And having a lot crazy. Of responsibility.
A lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was amazing, though. It really didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
It didn't. It never felt like responsibility. It felt like I had found my people.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're, I mean, you know how that feeling is. Like, I came from such a small town. It was, I mean, my family lives on a farm. And I love my hometown. And it's amazing when I go back there. I still have the same friends I have from preschool. But I was a kid who wanted to sing and dance and act from the time I was like 3 years old. And that's all I wanted to do. And so
and you can only do so many shows on the back of a pickup truck.
You really can.
Or
like at the local high school.
Sure.
You can only make those high school kids pay attention to you so many times. I mean, I have pictures of me at like 5 years old in the gymnasium, and like kids are like passed out asleep. You know, nobody's watching me. You know, so yeah, you can only do that for so long. So then I show up there and I'm like, oh, these people all look like me, and they want to do the same thing that I want to do, and they're weird too,
uh-huh.
and theater kids, and you know, so it that felt really nice. Like, I didn't feel like an outsider anymore.
Yeah.
And besides that, even the work, I mean, we worked in that last season, we were doing 3 live shows a week and working 6 day weeks.
Wow.
As children. Yeah, it was a lot of work, which is why I think so many of those kids that come out of the show have such strong work ethics.
Sure.
But also, again, it never felt like work. It was a pretty incredible experience. Some of the best years of my life, that's for sure.
That's awesome. And how many years were you on the show?
We did the last, like, let's see, 2 seasons, which ended up being with that. And then we were doing like a little, you know, side soap opera that we did, which ended up being about 2.5 to 3 years almost. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really great. And also kind of like this gave you this great foundational training for anything you would want to do ever in the entertainment business. Like, if you wanted to go on and be a musician, you know,
right.
you learned how to record in a recording booth and perform live and do music videos. And if you wanted to do sketch comedy, we did that. If you, you know, their little soap opera, if you want to do drama, which I went to do, and I was like, oh, actually, I really, you know, that was the first time I realized that I really enjoyed acting.
Right.
So yeah, you kind of got like this great foundational teaching. It's like Juilliard for children, you know?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And when that ended, was that the impetus to move to California?
It was. I mean, I was devastated. I was like,
sure.
What am I going to do now? Go back to the gymnasium, you know, in my hometown. Like, what the hell am I going to do? So there was an acting coach that was on the show who said, you should come out to LA. There's this thing called pilot season. I had no idea. So when I was 15, I came out for a pilot season. And then I was out here. I just started working. I was very lucky and worked out here until I was about 17. And then that's when I went and did the music business for a while. I took like a detour.
Oh, interesting.
It was interesting. it was quite the experience.
So were you, you were a solo artist or were you in a group?
I was not. So I was in a music group, me and myself and Britney Spears originally, before Britney became Britney. And so to take it back a little bit, I was dating, coming out of Mickey Mouse Club, I had been dating JC, who was in NSYNC.
JC Chazé.
Chazé. Okay. Yes. And Justin was like my very, very best friend. So they get in NSYNC. I would fly back and forth from LA to Orlando to like visit JC, but also Justin's mom was like my guardian. So mm-hmm. I would stay with her and then stay with like essentially like all the NSYNC boys in the house that they lived in. and also do my schooling. My tutor was down there as well. Right. So I traveled down there like several times a month. And so being around that, Miss Lynn, who was Justin's mom, was like, we should start a girls band. And I was like, I'm 17 and alone in LA. And the oldest person that I've had a chance to work with was like 24 years old. And I'm like dying out here with no friends. So of course I was like, yes. And so, she's like, I'm going to call Brittany and see if she wants to do it. And so it was me and Brittany. And then we cast like three other girls to come in and do it. And that's where we started.
And what was the band's name?
It was called Innocence, spelled with S's. Great. Don't know why.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
There were so many like bands at
like,
that time.
Dumb
that
names. All,
yeah, with these names
just
that were just
stupid.
Yeah.
Random like,
spellings.
It was awful. Oh, and we didn't even get to come up with it. It was like a name that we were given. It was like full on like pop machinery at its finest. And yeah, so that was the name. And then Britney ended up kind of getting plucked and going on to be Britney. And we brought in like one other person and the five of us, we signed to BMG internationally, RCA here in the United States, Lou Pearlman, who he's now passed away, but before that went to jail for the rest of his life because he's a con man and an awful human being. He was the guy responsible for signing like Backstreet, NSYNC, all of us.
Right.
And kind of as our group was like on the rise, like, you know, our single was doing amazing. We were on all the tours. His schemes, you know,
all
kind
crumbled.
Of all crumbled and we lost our record contract. And then he would not release us from our contract. So we kind of had to wait out the 2 years.
Ugh, and lose all the momentum.
Lose everything. We lost everything. And I ended up moving back out to LA and literally went to community college and was like, because I like couldn't do anything. And I knew I always wanted to come back to acting. So yeah, I went to Santa Monica Community College and got my first 2 years under my belt.
Wow.
And yeah.
Wow.
It was rough waters,
that
guys.
That is rough. So when rough. when all of that happened and kind of broke up, you were 19? How old were you?
No, I was 20. I was 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were kind of like, what now?
Well, yeah. Like what? I mean, like I came back out here and, you know, like what agent? Like who, you know, it's been like 6 years.
Yeah.
Well, and you still have that like drive and ambition, I'm sure, still.
Yeah. I mean, the story of my life, like trying to contain that. It really is. But I did. I like had the drive and ambition and everything, but A, I couldn't really work until my contract was over, but also like I was starting all over.
Yeah.
Really starting all over.
People think like the
with
music,
no money.
And at that time, it's a little different now. The music business and the TV film business overlap more.
Yeah.
But at that time, really, they
not
were
at
two
all.
Separate things.
Yeah.
And if you were doing music, you were off in a different world and it was like TV forgot about you and you had to kind of start all over again.
Yeah. Not even, well, yes, that, but also it was like you weren't considered a real actor.
Right.
You know, so it was also frowned upon. It wasn't like, oh, you do this and this. It was like, oh, you do that.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to see her, you know, so it took a while to kind of, you know, really to really like get an agent to like want to work for me again and to do all of that. It was, yeah, it was hard.
Yeah, that's hard. And that was even during the days where like if you were a TV person, nobody wanted to see you for film. Or if you did comedy, no one wanted to see you for drama.
Yep.
Now it's like all the film actors just do TV. So
yeah,
it's a totally different, you know, how things have just completely reversed.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I want to go back a second to JC Chazé. So you guys dated for how long?
Oh my gosh. From the time I was 13 until the time I was 18 or 19. No, like 19.
Wow, that's a long relationship.
It was very long. He was the first love of my life. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was really long.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then when they were like, do you guys still speak?
No, I mean, I see him around and we're definitely like friendly, like, hi, it's so good to see you. But it was like the breakup was pretty rough. Like, we never should have been in a relationship because he's in a boy band and he's on tour, like wanting to have sex with like all the girls.
Right.
So like, we never should have been in a relationship in the first place. Like, it was a very bad idea.
And like, I'm sure there's a part of, you know, the image that, you know, like whoever wanted to keep up.
Oh yeah. Like, none of them were supposed to have a girlfriend. So there was like these random girls that were just like traveling around with them on the tour bus that were like all, Miss Lynn would say that they were all like, we were all with her. You know,
right.
We were all like, you know, her friends, except for like, I was, you know, 16 years old. And like, it was so weird.
That's so weird.
Yeah, we never should have been. None of them should have ever had girlfriends during that time.
Yeah.
No.
What a so crazy dumb. Time. That's Wait, Stephen, you look pondering.
Well, no, I was just, but it almost imagine those are the people that you connect with because you're working with. It's like,
yeah,
I mean, I always feel like, you know, people say don't date your coworkers, but it's like, those are the people you see every day. Yeah.
If not your coworkers, who?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, and now it's like, you know, you got to be really careful because...
Hashtag me too.
Yes. You have to be very careful about the lines overlapping. And
well, boundaries. And I have to say, that's one thing I never learned growing up on sets. It took me a long time in life to really learn boundaries. Because when you grow up on a set and everyone's loving all over everyone and it's like that kind of environment, like now I look back and I'm like, I was like a 13-year-old girl sitting on the lap of like a grown man. Like that's not okay. Yeah. I would be horrified if I saw my daughter doing that. I'd be like, get your ass off. Like, you know. Yeah, but like there wasn't boundaries and nobody taught you about them.
No.
So it took me a long time to really learn what those looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so then you're 22.
Yeah.
You're getting back out there.
If you could call it that.
Getting back out there.
Just Santa Monica Community College. Just doing some, like, you know, English 101.
And what was like the next big thing for you?
The next big thing for me was a show called North Shore. I did for Fox, which was, I always say it was like the universe's, I'm sorry, your life got really screwed up. Here's, you know, your gift for like going through hell. And it was a great gift because I was in Hawaii for a year doing that show with people that I really like. I'm still friends with, and I really, really loved. And
that's the dream. After
it was
gig.
It everyone. Was really a dream. Like I to this day. I mean, Awkward was pretty fantastic. It was one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me in my life. Not just the role and the cast, but it was very, very special. Yeah. But like North Shore, a year in Hawaii, doing what you love to do with people that you really, really like. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It actually doesn't.
No.
No.
And what island did you shoot on?
Oahu.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were you married at the time?
No, I wasn't. I was with Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, we weren't married. I've been with him for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
We met in the music business. So he was also in a boy band.
Oh, man. That you can't get away from him.
No, I can't. I think I've only dated boy band members my entire life. That's like so sad.
Hey, so man, well, you got to type. You got to type. It's all right.
But like, what happens if my husband and I get divorced? Like, I'm 38 looking for like a boy band member. So embarrassing. Donnie Wahlberg's taken. Like, what's going to happen to me?
See what's happening with Joey Fatone. I can always give a call. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, Joey's always up. You know,
he's around.
He's around. He's down.
He's hosting some kind of, you know, Food Network show, I'm sure. Okay.
It's so true. But yeah, so we met. He was in a boy band called Take Five. And
Take Five?
Take Five. Oh my God,
I dated someone in a boy band called Catch Five.
Did you?
I did.
Stop.
Like,
Catch Five?
Come up with some more names for the love of God.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Off, anyway.
Off air. I'll have to find out who it is. Yeah, so we met, like, and it was towards the end that we started dating, towards the end of, like, my journey there and his journey, because the same thing happened to them where, like, everything kind of fell apart. And my husband, instead of going back into the arts, he was like, I only really got into this thing to, like, meet chicks and make money. So, like, this is kind of bullshit. Like, I mean, I met a chick, like, I got a girlfriend, but I made zero money. So I'm going to go to law school. And and so now he's an entertainment attorney. Thank God.
He's very smart.
He's very smart. I did not do that.
He did the Stacey Keenan route.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's so smart. Yeah. And he's doing great. Like,
that's awesome.
Killing it. Yeah. And loves his job. So
that's important.
That's very important.
I always feel like, God, I should have been smarter and just became a doctor or like a lawyer. But
then you're like, I'll just play one on TV.
Yeah. Exactly. But then I think about actually doing it. I'm like, ugh, but I hate all that reading. It's so dull. Yeah. Okay. You can't want to just be a lawyer because it sounds fun.
No.
No. You know.
But doctors. That's fun.
I know. And I'm obsessed with the idea of having an office because I've never had an office.
Oh, I know.
I'm obsessed with the idea of an office. I had a friend that said, I was like, I just want to have an office. He goes, what would you do in it? And I said,
sit up.
Just like dick around all day. I just have this idea that I just
get
have
a little
this, like,
mini
little,
tramp.
Yeah. I just have like a little space and I can just sort of do my thing.
Get it like one of those like rolling yoga balls. And
definitely. You know, I want a bar cart. All the cool executives have bar carts. I wonder how much they actually use those bar carts.
A lot. I would.
A lot. I would.
I would. Yeah. I think that the day that I get an office, I'll be like, I've arrived.
Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's it's to like, having an office.
Here's to having an office, man. Here's to having a cubicle. I'll just take a cubicle at this point. You know,
you can buy cubicle things at IKEA now.
I know what
just
I'm.
Set one
I know what I'm getting you.
Guys, I have to go to the office
for your birthday next year. Yeah,
don't bother me, please. I'll be in the office.
I'm just gonna set up a cubicle in your backyard.
Yeah, love that. I would love that. okay, so and then Awkward comes.
Yeah.
Great show.
Thank you.
And it was on for how many seasons?
Five seasons
on MTV.
It should have been longer. MTV really boffed that one because it was, you know, it was a very popular show. And I think that at the time when it, you know, when they didn't renew it for a sixth season, they were like, oh, we have all these things that we're now going to, you know, we're going to go in this direction. And I think that they should have just done like, you know, three more seasons of Awkward.
Yeah.
It had such a great audience. It was such a good show. Really, really, really a tremendous gift in my life and all of our lives. Like, we all still see each other and hang out, and we're just like, what would we have done without, like, that show and knowing each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
And was that your first time as a series regular playing a mom?
It was. Yeah, it was. And I remember at the
time.
Were
you kind of like, I'm not a mom.
I was like, no, give me that job.
Totally. I would have been too. Good for you, girl.
Yeah, I was. I was like 30 and they were like, not only are you going to play a mom, you're like going to play a mom of a 15-year-old. And
That's amazing.
Had a lot of actress friends who were like, but aren't you so worried that, you know, now you'll only play a mom? Isn't it too young to play a mom? I was like, no, give me that money. Give me that job. Like, I will play a mom all day long.
Totally.
Yeah, I'm in it to win it as a mom. Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, it's so funny the way they cast moms. You don't go from, there's no linear progression.
No.
So all of a sudden you get to mom age. Yeah. I got to mom age at one point, but I wasn't a mom of an infant and then, you know, a toddler and that. No, mom of a 13-year-old, first time out the gate, that's it.
Oh, what
oh,
was
I
that
turned 34
on?
And I have a 13-year-old. Oh, okay. Some dog saves the Christmas with Dean Cain. I had a...
Dog saves the Christmas. I think I've done one of those too.
Yeah, who hasn't?
Yeah.
There's always a dog saving Easter, Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm ready for, you know, the dog who saved Halloween, President's Day.
Why not?
Why not? So it was one of those, but I had like a 13-year-old daughter. It was absolutely ludicrous.
but you said yes.
Hell yeah, I did.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
Put
She's
that
practically taller than I was.
Yeah, check that ego amazing. At the door. I'm like, I'll take it.
That's amazing. what is the... All right, I'm going to ask a couple rapid fires.
Okay.
Do you have any... What's the worst audition you've ever had?
There was an audition where they wanted me to come in and do a British accent. And I went in and did a Jamaican accent.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't know why or how it came out of me. I've never done it before in my entire life.
Wait, what did it sound like?
And it was like, and it was this love, not a love scene, but it was like, you know, young love. And I actually went, but I love you, man. And the casting director looked at me and I looked at her and I ended it. I ended the scene and I was like, I'm sorry. I don't know what that was. And she goes, yeah, that was interesting. And I was like, yeah, thank you so much for seeing me. And she was like, have a great day. I've never been back in her office. Like, oh, I've never been back in that office again. She's like, that will you'll never set foot inside my office again.
That's terrible. That's awkward.
It was really bad.
Yeah. Having, you know, committing to an accent is rough.
It's really rough. There's also like one particular room, and I don't know what it is about this room. And the casting man is so lovely. He really is. But I don't know what it is about the room. I think I need to go in with like some incense and like just like, or send someone in before me next time. But I always like choke in the room. I don't know what it is. I've been in his room probably like 20 times and God bless him. He keeps being like, let's just give her another, let's bring her back in. Let's bring, you know, maybe it was the role. And it's like, nope, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but like it's never happened to me before like that. But that's also really, it's bad. It's, I've had like 20 consecutive bad auditions in that room.
Oh, God, I did something recently where I had to put myself on tape. And, you know, putting yourself on tape is a double-edged sword for me.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, you can control the audition,
100%.
Right? So you flub a line, you don't like what you're doing, you want to start over again. You can take as much time as, you know, your husband will allow you to, who is probably doing the camera work and trying to read lines while the football game is on pause.
Yeah.
So let's be clear, there's a finite amount of time, but it is longer than you'd usually get. So this particular audition, this is horrible. It was for like one of these VR video games.
Oh, Lord.
So it would have been like a motion capture, the whole nine yards, which I've done one of these before. They're actually pretty cool because you end up putting on this suit and then you sort of do the entire game in scenes, but you work in like a black box theater. Ooh. While they have all these different cameras around you. So it's kind of like
that is cool.
Theater, yeah. In a way, which is really cool. Anyway, I actually like went all in. I was like, this could be a really cool job. And I would really like to play this like crazy alien, you know, who is trying to seduce this guy. Like I was going all in. I just wore all black because I figured they want to see kind of what you look like, but they're going to change your figure anyway.
Tennis balls on you.
Yeah. Put tennis balls on me. No, I didn't go that far. But then I have my husband reading with me. Okay, someone just said this quote the other day, and I found it so funny because in this moment, I completely empathize with it. Somebody said, this actor said the other day that he had overheard Tony Danza saying, the thing with acting is you just have to get over the embarrassment. Acting is so embarrassing. And if you just get over the embarrassment of what you're actually doing, the fact that someone's like, action, and you're like, I hate you. Like, what are you doing? What are we actually doing? And action, let me tell you something. Like, so here I am just getting over the embarrassment of literally my husband going 3, 2, 1, pressing record on my iPhone and me walking into frame, literally having to do a sexy slither dance as an alien and then sit down and like seduce him from across the room. It's ridiculous. And then I don't even think I booked it.
That's the thing that hurts the worst.
That's been like my entire Saturday being a sexy slithering alien. Ugh. That's the worst. And it took me 4 times to upload the video and send it because the file was too big and I'm compressing it and sending it. No one even said thanks. They weren't even like, thanks for sending it. Thanks for putting in the work.
No, I was like, they never do.
Motherfuckers.
They never do.
This is like, where is this stuff going? Into the ether. If I find that video, I'm putting it online because it's terrible.
Hopefully my Jamaica audition went right into the trash. That's all I'm saying. I hope that never resurfaces. I mean, I don't know about your Slytherin alien, but like, I hope that Jamaican audition never sees the light of day.
Bless my husband. He said he thought it was very sexy.
That's really sweet.
I know.
I know, but it that is the ridiculous. Like when you do that and when you really commit to it and then like, nobody says something, but B, like you don't even get the job.
Yeah.
I always like, it's the things when you like show up to the audition, you have to be like a whore and you're in like the whore outfit with the heels and everything.
Only jobs
like,
I book.
Walking down the sidewalk in the street and you're like, this is so like, just all my dignity is gone.
Being catcalled by random people in trucks.
It's gone. No dignity.
Driving by you.
And I didn't even book the job. And I
didn't even book it.
Nope.
What do you do? I have a question. What do you do in a scene when it says she kisses him? I'm sure in some of these, you know, in these Hallmark movies and whatever, but then there's like a kiss moment. Yeah. You're obviously not going to kiss the casting director.
Oh, you mean in the audition?
In the audition.
Yeah.
But like, what do you, like, are you making a kiss face? Are you just glossing over the moment like it's not even there? Are you looking at someone sensually?
I just kind of like take the moment to look at them, like, and get, if it's Hallmark, then I like, I would like, look at them in a very sweet way.
Right.
You know?
Right.
If it's supposed to be a very sexy, like, kiss, I mean, I wouldn't be like...
Nikki's making faces.
You don't want to see that.
Lip motions.
Yeah, I wouldn't... But, like, I would just take a beat, and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Because I had an acting teacher once.
Oh, no.
But I was young. So I was maybe like, I don't know, 19 or something. And there was a lot of like pilots and things, and it was a lot of teenage angst and a lot of kissing and things like that.
Yeah.
And she told me to just like give a, like close your eyes and just give a, like a, an air kiss.
Who is this person?
And I was doing that for a very long time.
No.
That had to be horrible. I'm sure the casting director was just looking at me like, what the hell is happening?
See, this is my problem though with casting directors. Say that. Just say it.
That. Just like, say sweetie, you don't like, need to do that.
Sweetie, don't need to kiss. Yeah, just say it. Like, help a sister out because we're already coming
help
in here
all
doing
out.
Ridiculous things.
Say no need to kiss. Let's just make that a moment.
Let's do it one more time. And like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's so awful.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I can only think of all the tapes that are out there of me just like kissing the air like a fish. Making like basically fish lips at the air. Oh yeah, no, that's exactly what I looked like. It would be terrible. That's not
really
cute.
It's rude that
now
nobody
that I'm
told
thinking
you
about it. It's not cute at all. Oh God, I've got to overthink my entire career now. I'm gonna go down a rabbit hole. All right. Any worst ever parenting stories?
Yeah, I have one that just happened last Thursday night. I was doing the dream feed for the baby.
Yes.
And I was getting him back down. It was about 11 o'clock. And it was in the dark because we were in the bedroom. And I like leaned down just to make sure I was changing his diaper to put him back down. That, you know, everything was clean. And I heard him go, ugh! And when he did, he projectile shit all over my face. And I just like, have you seen those like movies where like the water's spraying at a face and you just like somebody's just going like, like it's coming so fast and hard that you can't do anything about it. And so then finally it stopped and I like, turned away and I was like, And then I turned back and he came again all over me.
Oh my God.
I'm not going, like, honestly, it was probably only like 10 seconds, but it felt like
only 10 seconds.
Like 30 seconds of full projectile shit. And then he finishes and he's got it on him. It's all over the bed, it's on the floor, it's all over me. And I'm going, help, help. Like, I can't even talk because it's on my lips. Oh, so it's God. Like, if oh. I open my mouth, it's going to like go into my mouth. And my husband like pops out of bed. This is not going to paint him in the best light. God bless him. But I'm doing it because what an asshole. He pops up out of bed and he's like, what is going on? I just fell asleep. And I was like, help. It's poop. It's everywhere. And he's like, oh, God, I'm so angry right now. I was asleep, Nikki. I was asleep. And he gets out of bed and he's like, oh, I'm going to Hudson's room. And he goes to lay down in my four-year-old's room as I'm standing there. And I push the baby up on the bed so he doesn't fall off the bed. Safety first. And then I walk myself into my husband, into the my son's room and lean over my husband, like so close over his face. And I was like, do you smell that? That is the smell of shit. And the next time you have shit all over you and you need my help, I am going to walk away and go into my son's room and go to sleep as it's like dripping over on my
husband's face. Oh my God, that is amazing.
And I leave. And like 5 minutes later, my husband comes like walking in there as I'm like trying to clean the shit up off the floor and everything. He's like, I'm really sorry. I had just fallen asleep. I'm like, what? I had just fallen asleep. That's no excuse. I have shit all over me. Like, it was the grossest. I can't even believe it happened. I still can't believe it happened. It was so bad.
That's the worst shit story
it was,
I think I've ever heard.
It was so bad that I don't know that I'll ever get over that. And with that being said, thanks guys so much for having me today.
You know, and he's a baby, so it's just that liquidy.
It's liquidy. Yeah, it was. It was just liquidy yellow.
Oh, Stephen, isn't this just making your loins burn for a child?
I'm so excited.
Get you some.
Oh, God. You know, there is such a thing my girlfriend says with her husband, where if he, something like that happens and the baby cries or whatever, and he wakes up with a start in the middle of the night, she's like, he has like night terrors. He gets like night rage where he doesn't remember being that angry, but he's like, what's happening? And then like goes back to sleep and he's like, I never did that.
No, that's what Ryan
like,
does.
No, you did. Yeah. You were like a complete beast last night. You don't remember any of it?
That's he's so
like,
interesting. No, there's gotta be a thing. It's gonna be some sort of like aphasia or something.
Steven, look it up.
Sleep aphasia.
Yeah. It's sleep, yes. Yeah. Something like that.
Oh, anyway.
Man. That's the best and worst one I've ever heard. Good for you.
You're welcome.
I mean, I'm afraid to put the challenge out there to find a worse one.
Yeah. Anybody has a worst shit story,
I'd love
like
to hear
child
it.
Story involving that, please, I welcome it. I want to hear it. Email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. Nikki, you're a delight.
Thank you.
And I'm just selfishly glad that we could hang out because I don't get to hang out with you enough.
I know, me too. I was really looking forward to today. I know. Thank you so much.
So let's rectify that, number one.
Yes.
Number two, Vegas 2020. Okay. Number three, Duder. But you and I will just start it and we'll get our husbands together and see how we match make.
I think that would, I mean, like, well, let's start with them.
Yeah, we'll start with them.
Perfect.
And then we'll just branch out from there.
Perfect.
Okay. Where can we find you on all the social?
Oh, Instagram, I'm Nick, N-I-K, Deloach, D-E-L-O-A-C-H. And then on Twitter, it's Nikki Deloach, the full name. And then Facebook, same thing, Nikki Deloach.
Awesome. And where can we see you next?
Right now, nothing. I am just like literally coming out of like
baby hibernation.
Baby hibernation. So I'm tiptoeing back out into the world now. So we'll see how that goes.
I'm sure there will be something very soon, some kind of love story on Hallmark, single dad, a young shopkeeper.
Owns a Christmas tree farm.
Yes, Christmas tree farm or an art studio.
Yeah.
I love those.
I haven't owned an art studio yet. That would be nice.
A bakery?
Yeah. I'm trying to get them to like send me to some tropical location to do one.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to play your slutty best friend.
Yes.
Can we do that?
Yes, you can do that.
Maybe we should just write one.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Okay.
But right,
you
have
but you can play the slutty best friend. I'm not ready to get in a bathing suit yet.
Oh no, that's all I play.
Okay, good.
I just play the slutty best
we'll
friend.
We'll be great together then.
Okay.
Okay. Because I play the like everyday looking person.
Ha ha, Cabo, here we come, Brandon Bro. Booyah. Thanks for listening, everyone. You can find me on all social at YoLaken. And you can find Stephen Ray Morris.
You can always find me at Stephen Ray Morris on Twitter and Instagram.
Follow us for Worst Ever Podcast at Worst Ever Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and Worst Ever PC on Twitter. And don't forget, you can email us thoughts and suggestions. We love hearing what you guys have to say, and maybe we'll read some of your stories and comments. WorstEverPodcast@gmail.com. We will be back next week with an all-new episode, so stay tuned. And thanks again to RX Bar. Don't forget, you can get 25% off your first order. Go to rxbar.com/worst and put in promo code worst.
Nice.
Anything else, Steven?
No. I'm going to just have phantom shit fear now from now on. So.
Well, don't worry. Your skin looks beautiful, and all you have to do is moisturize.
I will.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.